Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart, who have kept with your servant David, my father, what you have declared to him. You spoke with your mouth, and with your hand you have fulfilled it this day. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house? But miracle of miracles, God has made his dwelling with man. The Lord, the God of Israel, the one who created and enlivens all things, he did fill and inhabit the temple built by Solomon. And then, in the fullness of time, when all things were ready, he entered into his creation and filled a temple not made with human hands. God became man. He took on flesh and blood, muck and mire, sin and the curse of death, and he became one of us. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you. But the Israelites, his own people, did not receive him as their Lord and King. They watched as he worshipped in their temple. They listened as he taught their scriptures and as he claimed to be greater than Abraham. And they knelt down and picked up stones to put him to death. But he walked away from them and from their desolate house made of stones. He walked all the way to Capernaum, to the land of half-breeds and pagans. And when he entered that town, a centurion of the town heard of his arrival, a leader of 100 soldiers in that place. He had heard what Jesus had taught and said. He'd heard the rumors about what Jesus had been doing. He had a sick servant that he loved very much. And so he sent some of the elders of the Jews, some of the men of the Jewish religion that he knew, he sent them to Jesus to ask him to come and to heal his servant who was at the point of death. And the elders of the Jews did what the man requested. They went to Jesus. They came and made their best case for this powerful but non-Jewish man. He is worthy for you to do this. He loves our nation. He's the one who has built us our synagogue. The elders of the Jews obviously didn't think that the centurion's request was enough by itself to bring Jesus into his house. They thought that they needed to help his case by making sure that Jesus knew exactly what they knew, that this man was wealthy and powerful. This is one of the good guys. You should do this for him. He deserves your help. But as Jesus approached the centurion's house, the wealthy, powerful, and by all accounts well-deserving man sent his closest friends out to meet Jesus, to say to Jesus what the elders of the Jews would never say. Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you myself, but just say the word, and let my servant be healed. This man, under authority, knows the power of a command spoken by one who is in authority. His soldiers listen to his word, and they do what he says. He has seen and heard that all things are under Jesus' authority. So Jesus need not come into his house to heal his servant. He need only speak the command, and the sickness should obey his voice and leave. While the Jews still think that they can buy or merit or deserve God's good pleasure and his kind disposition toward them, this man, this non-Jewish man of Capernaum, gets it. He understands. He knows that he has no right to ask Jesus for anything. He knows that his deeds and his power and his wealth do not make him worthy to have the Lord of heaven and earth come into his house. He knows more than that. He knows that his deeds and his life make him utterly unworthy to stand before the presence of God. But as a Gentile beggar who cares very much for his servant who is ill, still he asks. It can't hurt to ask, can it? And this is faith. Faith worked by the Holy Spirit. True faith that believes that God can do what he has said. Faith that causes even Jesus to marvel at this man. Faith that causes his request for his servant to be granted. It's not wealth or power or standing that animates Jesus. It's not all those things that you say and do to impress other people that impresses Jesus. What animates and impresses Jesus, what even causes him to marvel, is a living, breathing, trusting faith. Faith that trusts the power of his word. Faith that doesn't demand signs. Faith that simply says, "Say the word, and my servant will be healed." Jesus doesn't heal the servant because the powerful, influential man is worthy. He doesn't heal the servant because he has built the Jews a synagogue. He doesn't heal the man because he loves the nation. He heals the man because the centurion knows that he can and will. I don't need to tell you that many people think they can buy off God with their own pathetic little acts of charity and love. Plenty of people in this world think that if they put on a good show and convince others of their worthiness, maybe God will be convinced or fooled too. Plenty of people don't believe that the word of Jesus alone is powerful to create faith and to save. But God is not mocked. He cannot be bought with silver or gold. He's not convinced or fooled by a good show. He knows the heart. He himself has said that there are none who are worthy and good except God alone. But he does not mock us. He does not laugh at our condition or plight. He doesn't find it funny when we attempt to justify ourselves or earn his favor. Instead, he enters his creation. He comes to our house. He picks up our sins and yields his own life so that we who are not worthy will live. And as he filled Solomon's temple with his presence, and as he took on flesh and blood and entered the temple of his body and cast out demons and forgave sins and healed the sick and raised the dead, now he has come to this house and to every house where his word is painted on the door and proclaimed in its truth and fullness. And though you are not worthy to receive him, though you are not worthy to have him come under your roof, he comes anyway, and he washes your feet and your hands and your head, and he forgives your sins. He comforts your troubled conscience with his word of peace, and he gives you the medicine of immortality that heals your soul. the very body and blood shed for you on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus has come to this house that you have built for him so that he can dwell here with you. He has opened his mouth and spoken the word. Your sins against him and against your neighbor are all forgiven. You have been made well. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you, in heaven above or on the earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart, who have kept with your servant David, my father, what you declared to him. You speak with your mouth, and with your hand, you have fulfilled it this day. Thanks be to God for our incarnate Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for he is worthy. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.